The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, how you doing out there? It's me, Matt Slick. You're listening to Matt Slick Live. Today is May 15th, 2023 for the podcasters. If you want, you can give me a call. All you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. Give me a call and we can talk. And if you're new to the show, what we do here is answer questions on the Bible, theology, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science, Unity, Baha'i, Islam, and various other things. So if you want to join us, you can. All you got to do is dial that number, 877-207-2276. And also, if you want, you can email me. You don't have to call in, but you can email me. All you got to do is go to info at carm.org. Email us at info@carm.org, and I can get your stuff. And in fact, we've got some of those. We've been getting quite a few, actually, so I'm thinking what I'm going to do is spend some time answering some of those. Also, if you're so inclined and you like the idea, you can go to StreamYard, you can go to Rumble.com/Matt Slick Live, and you can join us. You can watch us in there. Why did it change the color? Oh, it definitely changed the color on that thing. Boy, I don't know. That's all right, though. Anyway, that's where we're at. So that show's on from from last week. Oh, well, I'll figure it out. All right. So I want to hear from... Oh, by the way. So if you like, hearing... the show, and you want to participate, all you have to do, you can do that by calling. And also, if you want with the chat people, you can do that too. There's a lot of great people in the chat room, and it's a lot of fun. There are a lot of great people in there, except for Ernie. But other than that, there's a lot of really good people in there, and so I just want to ask that if you want to, you can participate by doing that. All right. So there you go, and getting ready for all the stuff there. I got a lot on my plate. I have been working real hard on trying to get things to work right, and it's a lot to do, And just I would ask that you'd pray for me, pray for this ministry, because there's so much that needs to be done, and we are trying to produce as much as we can for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, there's been a lot of challenges lately. There's just been a lot of challenges. So if you don't mind praying for us, we could ask that. Just God knows what it is. God knows what the issues are. We do need that, and so we'd appreciate that. All right, we have three open lines. Oh, we just had two callers, and then all of a sudden they just dropped off. So don't know what's going on. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. Give me a call, and we can blab. All right? Simple stuff. So those whoever was calling, they can call right back. You can try that again. All right. I think what I'm going to do is get to some of the emails that are waiting. We have a lot for the radio questions and stuff like that. All right. Let's see. Okay. Thank you for having me on the guest of your show, The Tyranny. That's right. Oh, yeah. I remember that call. This woman called up in March and talking about some pretty tough things that were going on in her her life. And a lot of people were really concerned for her. And if she's listening, call back. Let us know how things are going. I'd love to hear from you. All right, so we've got people calling in. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. Let's get to Scott from Spokane, Washington. Scott, welcome. You're on the air. You're on the air,
hi,
Scott.
Matt. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, hi. I've called a few times before. I just wanted to, I don't really have a question. I just kind of wanted to see if it would be okay if I could kind of just kind of explain something. I'm a part of a group. It's called 509 Catch 'Em All. We're on Facebook and Rumble. I just kind of wanted to put it out there for people in my community. I know you're
Wait. What's it about?
Well, what we do is we assist the police in helping catch active child predators. That's how we serve the community.
Good. I like that. Yeah, there's a show on TV. I watched one or two episodes. My wife doesn't like when I watch it, but where some girls, they catch those guys. And so there's a show on
TV. Yeah, that's what we do. And in this week, we've already gotten two arrests. It's been very successful just this week alone. And we have another one coming this weekend that a guy from Idaho is actually going to be crossing state lines to solicit sexual relations with a minor.
So let me ask you, hold on. We have children who listen to the show, and so I'm always careful about what's said in that regard. But are you a Christian?
Oh, absolutely. I guess I'll just end with just sharing the verse that kind of applies to the situation, if I could.
Okay.
So it's Psalms 81, I believe, and it says, "Give justice to the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted and the desolate. Rescue the weak and the needy, and deliver them from the hand of the wicked."
Amen, brother. I think you're talking about Psalm 82. So Psalm 82 talks about that. So yeah, good for you. Good for you. Deliver. That's what we're called to do, especially as men. To deliver the weak and needy from oppressors. It includes what you're doing. It also includes the predators who kill the babies in the womb. They're predators also.
Yeah, I wanted to be a part of that, but I couldn't really find an end in the pro-life community here. And so I kind of hopped on board with this, and it's going great. And I just wanted to share as well that while we wait for the police to arrive, I do my best to share the gospel with the man that we catch.
Good.
And I let him know about Christ, that he saved me from drugs and alcohol, and that he could, he's there for just to reach out to him. If you're sitting in jail and you're doing that, just reach out to God, pick up a Bible. So,
good.
So, yeah, I just wanted to put it out there, 509, catch them all. That's kind of
okay,
it.
Okay, but
so.
They can... Okay, that's okay. And they can pray for you, too. They can pray for that. It's a good thing. I hope they catch those people and deal with them appropriately. Yep.
Yeah, pray for our safety, for sure. It can be very dangerous.
Sure.
We often have to ask to pull up their shirt to see if there's no weapons. We come semi-prepared for that, and so it can be dangerous. Safety, prayers for safety would be fantastic.
All right, brother. Well, good for you. Appreciate that. All right.
Have a great day, my friend.
All right, you too, Matt. God bless. All right. That was an interesting call. Let's see. Let's get to Chuck from Burlington. Hey, Chuck, welcome. You are on the air.
Thanks, Matt. Oh, it's a blessing to listen to the older brother.
You're kind of muffled. You're kind of muffled, so...
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, blessing to listen to that other brother. Do I sound better now?
Yeah, now you do. Yeah, you sound better. Uh-huh. There you go.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what God can do when he saves somebody. My question was about the fall, you know?
Okay.
Like, man fell really hard, didn't he?
Who? It's a little harder to hear.
Man.
Well, Adam did.
Okay. Man fell really hard, didn't he?
Yeah, Adam did fall pretty badly, and sin entered the world, mankind on the way to hell. Yes, that's correct.
Mm-hmm. Boy, all the bad things that have happened in world history, and bad people have done awful bad things, but we all of us kind of on an equal scale, it appears, have that same wicked nature, don't we?
Yes,
depends
we do.
Whether we dip into it and use it, yeah.
Well, yeah, that's correct, because what it says, original sin, and it's dealt with in Romans 5:19, And what it says there is that for the through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. And the many is referring to the descendants, and were made is in the aorist passive indicative, which means it's something that happened to them. It's a fact. So that's what's going on. So Adam's sin resulted in our condemnation. And it was pretty bad. Yep.
Yeah, it's kind of a mystery, isn't it?
What do you mean, mystery? In what way?
Well, okay. Who is responsible? Okay, Adam was responsible for his fall. But is it our fault how bad we are? Or is it a punishment from God for the fall? I know, that's kind of a hard, bad question to ask, maybe, but I got curious about that. Because where does this wicked nature in us come from?
Oh, it comes from ourselves. We're wicked in our hearts. We're by nature children of wrath, Ephesians 2:3. We're dead in our trespasses and sins, Ephesians 2:1. And the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful. No man can trust it, Jeremiah 17:9. So this is the condition that we are in. And because of Adam's sin, this is what happened to us. So we are slaves of sin. That's what happened. Okay? It's bad. That's what it is.
Yeah, okay. Okay, thank you very much, Matt.
Sure, no problem.
Praise the Lord,
God bless.
Brother. Praise the Lord for your ministry.
Okay. Well, thank you. All right. Hey, folks, if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. Let's get to Mike from Durham, North Carolina. Mike, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for having me. My question is, when I visit a church, how do I know the sermon is Christ-centered? How do I know the songs are Christ-centered? What is that? What do those sound like?
Are you a Christian?
I am.
Okay.
And I've been going to a Southern Baptist church. It's pretty good, but...
Okay.
You know.
All right. So I'm going to give you an example of a bad sermon. I can't do a whole sermon here over the air, but I break it down. And the basic thing I use is the Bible says in Exodus 20, Ten Commandments, do not lie. So it's wrong to lie. So what if a pastor gets up and he talks about lying and he says how God doesn't want it, it's against him, and it's a sin against his character, and you shouldn't do it. And the guy gives some illustrations how lying costs people jobs and marriages and things like that. And he talks about that, but he does not mention the Lord Jesus Christ and the redemptive work. Now, is that a good sermon? And the answer is no, it is not. One of the things I learned in seminary was when a professor was training me on preaching. And I'm not saying I'm a great preacher or anything, but he taught me something that I never forgot. I remember where I was when my eyes were opened. And he asked me in the preaching class, we had to preach a sermon, and I didn't get as good a grade as I thought I deserved. And I asked him about it. Long story short, he said, could your sermon have been preached unchanged in a Mormon church? I thought about it for about 30 seconds. I looked at him. I said, yes, unchanged, they would have accepted it. He said, then that's a problem, isn't it? And I said, yes, it is. And when we get back from the break, we'll talk a little more about that, okay? Hey, folks, you want to give me a call? All you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, all you're going to do is dial 877-207-2276. And I want to give a big thanks to Del Fry for a $10 rant and Mr. Kidd for $5. Thank you very much, both of you. That is helpful and it's encouraging, too. And boy, I'll tell you, lately, we certainly need that. There's a lot going on. So please consider, if you're interested, folks, you can join us in the chat. You can do that. All you got to do is go to rumble.com/Matt Slick Live, all one word. Find today's show, click on it, and there you are. There you are. It's easy peasy. All right. We have four open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Mike. You still there, Mike?
I am.
All right. So I'm getting a slowly to teach you a little bit more about how a sermon can be good or bad. So the pastor, the seminary professor who taught me that really shook me up. And he said, where's Christ in your sermon, Matt? And I was preaching in the Old Testament. And here's an example of something. This is the actual sermon summarized that I was preaching. It was out of 2 Chronicles 20. Is when a bunch of people are coming down from the north to destroy Israel, from all over to destroy Israel. And God said, don't worry about it. The battle's not yours, it's mine. And he destroyed the enemy. All right, now I'm skipping a lot of details in there. But I said, you know, originally I said, just trust God and he'll deliver you. And just trust him. And that's a good, it's a truth. But he would not give me a top-notch grade. And he said, because your sermon can be preached, you know, he asked me, could he preach in a Mormon church unchanged? I said, yes. So I had to go back and think about it. Because he asked me a question. He says, where's Christ in there? And I said, well, he's not there yet. He says, yes, he is. But John 5:39, you search the scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life, but it is these that bear witness of me. The scriptures are about him. So, okay, those are the clues. So I went and did the sermon, and I learned something. And when I preached it, the second time I got an A+. And the modification was very simple. It was the reason God said, don't worry about it. He's going to take care of the battle is ultimately because it was an attempt by the enemy to destroy the messianic line by destroying Israel. And if Israel is destroyed, we don't have a Messiah. This is an attempt on all of us. And it says, and the cross is what he was trying to prevent, the arrival of the Messiah. And so, therefore, you know, being saved by grace, being justified by grace alone. And so, that was a thing. Now, I know it's a big, long illustration here, but if you're listening to someone preach, is it Christ-centered? It's called historical redemptive. Is the history, is the reason, is the goal ultimately based on the cross of Christ? So, this is what we have to understand. This is what you have to look for. Sometimes a preacher might get up and preach a sermon that sounds good on the surface and be good, because being good is good. God wants you to be good, so be good. And he takes a bow where everybody applauds. But the idea is you be good because the Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood and bought you. And you don't belong to yourself. You belong to him. He's your Lord. So live accordingly, according to the ministry of the work of the Holy Spirit upon those who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. That is a sermon. Now, I would prefer that when I preach, I don't get to preach very often anymore, I miss it, but I would prefer to preach a sermon in such a way that it would not be acceptable in the Mormon Church, Jehovah's Witness Church, Roman Catholic Church, Eastern Orthodox Church, so that there's something in it will preclude me or preclude that message being accepted by those adherents, because those are all false churches. So that's just one thing, okay? Does that make sense about the preaching? Are you there?
It does. I'm here. I haven't heard it kind of just geared towards Christians only and not being able to be taught in another church.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Yeah. In a cult church, a false church. So if you know about Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses or Christian Science or Unity or whatever it is, could the sermon that you just heard be preached unchanged in any of those and they all accept it? If so, that's a warning sign. I never forgot that. It's one of the most valuable things I learned in seminary. It really was a valuable thing and it really helped me a lot. And so if I were to preach on any sermon, Old Testament, New Testament, the reason ultimately for anything that we do, believe, change, repent of, aim for, is because of what Jesus did. Because without that, you might as well belong to a Mormon church or a Roman Catholic church and, you know, be whatever you want to be, because when you die, you're going to go to hell. So this is, it's hard to explain, so try to illustrate it. I hope that makes sense. All right? Now, about the worship. Worship is of different kinds, and people like different kinds. Like, I'm not a fan of hymns. I don't like the style. There's a couple I like, but that's about it. I prefer contemporary worship. But this doesn't mean that contemporary worship is better or worse. Doesn't mean hymns are better or worse. What we have to look for in worship is it Christ-centered and glorifying God. And also, are the words this doctrinally sound? Now, this is difficult because a lot of the Christian contemporary writers couldn't argue their way out of a wet paper heresy. They don't know theology very well. I remember this one song, I forgot who wrote it, God, I give you permission to come in and do such and such. It's a heresy. And people sing it. I give you permission. You don't give God permission. It's a lie. So there's just because, this, and furthermore, just because hymns are old doesn't mean they're all good. Some of them don't have good theology in them. But just because they're new doesn't mean they're good either. And either one means, you know, old or new means good or bad. We have to check each one. So are the words repetitive? Well, some people say that shouldn't be biblical. But the angels sing before the throne, holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty. They repeat. And so repetition is not in itself ungodly. It's not bad. What's the purpose of the repetition? Is it to induce a trance? We don't want that. Or to glorify God? We do want that. And that's okay as well. So there's a lot of variables in there. But are the hymns and the contemporary songs and spiritual songs, are they cross-centered ultimately? So that's what you have to look at. You know, a mighty fortress is our God. You know, Martin Luther wrote that. It was a bar tune, and he adapted it and made Christian lyrics out of it. And then there's Amazing Grace. You know, there's, or It Is Well With My Soul. There's a lot of these good hymns like that. But one of the problems is, like, Amazing Grace can be sung in a Mormon church and unchanged. And that's a, it's, you know, you can only go so far with this theory of mine, but you, anyway, you get the point?
I do. I think something that sometimes concerns me, so often I go to these churches, they'll sing 200-year-old songs, and there is no passion in the people singing them and in the church body. Like, it's just, it might as well be study hall back in elementary school. There's just, there's no feeling.
I'm so glad you said that, because that's what I've seen so many times too. It's duty. Stand up, sing these three stanzas, then sit down. Turn around, touch your nose, touch your toes, sit down, stand up. Yeah, it's not good. Hey, hold on, we've got another break coming up. Hey, folks, if you want to give me a call, let's talk about this. It's important and interesting. 877-207-2276. Give me a call. I want to hear from you. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. We have four open lines. I want you to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Also, if you want to participate in the chat discussion and stuff like that, you can do that by going to rumble.com/Matt Slick Live, all one word. You can check it out. All right, let's get back on with Mike from Durham. Are you still there?
I am.
All right. Yeah, this is an important thing, and what you said was so spot on. We sometimes the it's called a liturgy, and all churches have a liturgy. It's just an order of worship, and some have a traditional, and some are more modern, contemporary style. But we have to be careful that it's not just so rote that it becomes just habitual. People just sing it because that's what they do. Like, go to the church just because that's what they do. Yeah, and it's a problem. Yeah, it is. You there?
I'm still here. Yeah, I'm listening.
Okay. Well, at any rate, if you have any more comments, you know, that's fine. But, yeah, I'm with you. And I have a problem with the whole... the lack of enthusiasm. The lack of... lack of fervor in the Christian church. The lack, you know?
Yeah, it's just disheartening. If I arrive and they go through the motions, and I look around and I'm just like, yeah, and the you know, I could get on a rant of the old King James. It's very, at least 50% of the churches down here preach out of it. But to me, it is preaching in tongues, because I have to keep looking at my wife going, what does that word mean?
Right. And the King James only stuff is ridiculous. And I'm just going to open up. I don't like churches stuck with the King James, and the reason is because they're doing tradition over contemporary needs. Because the people outside the church doors, they don't speak King James English, they don't study King James anything from 300 years ago. That's not what happens. It's not how it should be. It's 400 years ago. And then what they do is say, this is the language that we want to speak. Well, are you concerned with the people outside the door? Are you concerned with those going to hell? Is that what you're going to do? You could go to them, if thou shalt believeth. Is that how you talk to them? No, it's not. And you want to make sure that you don't have any more barriers between them and you, and that you can speak that gospel. But then the next question is, are they speaking the gospel? See, maybe it's why I don't ever get, not ever, but I don't get asked to preach in churches anymore. I think it might be because I just tell the truth too hard. And I think Christians need to be very aware of their surroundings. They need the pastors and the elders need to preach to equip the Christians for the work of ministry. And the Christian's job is to be developed and to be trained and be used by God. Not to sit in a pew, not to sit in a church thing on a Sunday morning, and then you've done your duty. That's not what Christianity is supposed to be. And a lot of people like that are going to find themselves on the outside on the Day of Judgment. They got to make sure that they are following Christ and not their own whims of what they think Christianity is. And any church that would adopt an old system and they think that that's how it always has to be because that's how it has to be, then, okay, how does that impact the community around you and the people? Are you opening your doors up to the people? I remember when I was assistant pastor in, this is for real, I was being interviewed. I couldn't believe they hired me, and I went and worked for them. It was not a good choice, and was not a good fit. But the Dutch Reformed Church in Southern California, and it was my first ministry job. And so I'm sitting there in the eldership in this big room. And before I'd gotten into that room, I was downstairs, and I was looking at this $250,000 organ. That's how much I found it had cost. And the pews and everything. It was a nice church, stained glass window, an old building. And the whole thing. And I remember looking at it, you know, and okay, that's fine, whatever. It's not bad in itself. And so these men, and all godly men, I'm not knocking them, but they asked me about 45 minutes into the interview, they said, we want to reach out to the community and have more people come into the church. And I said, are you really serious about that? And they said, yes. And I said, then stop singing your hymns. And stop doing the organ. I said, the only time people hear organs is in horror movies and funeral parlors. You have a $250,000 organ, you know, that's how much it was. They told me, you know, and I said, they don't listen to organ music. That's just not what they hear. You want them to come from outside in a contemporary culture and functionally step back in time 200 to 300 years and be comfortable the way you want them to be comfortable. And that's not how it's supposed to be. Jesus Christ, God in flesh, he came to earth, became one of us, adopted the culture and the language and the dress of the time and where he was. Now, that's not to do it with compromise. We're not to compromise and stuff like that. But I said, if this is your goal, this is what you want to do, then you have to make it so that the people when they come in aren't suddenly repelled by whatever it might be, King James Elizabethan English, or stand up and sit down, and you can only talk when that certain amount of time is over. You know, I remember once in the same church, I put my arm around my wife, and they actually rebuked me for it. The elders rebuked me for it in the service, putting my arm around my wife. And they just said they didn't want me to do that. And I said, I will do that any time I want, in church, outside of church. If I want to put my arm around my wife in a church service during worship, I will do that. I says, you can't tell me not to. They did not like that. And I got on them for it. So we get stuck in so much tradition. And it happens in our contemporary churches that we get comfortable. We go to where we just go to church and we're comfortable. And the uncomfort is coming. God is tired of us Christians being so comfortable that we're useless. The iron is not being sharpened. The knife is not being used. The hammocks are what doled out in church. Be comfortable and everything. But I want to say something here, though. I mean, you got me going, but I'm going to say something. I went to church yesterday, and the normal pastor wasn't there. A different pastor was preaching on staff. Young guy. And he was preaching on the wedding feast and things like this. And I was, you know, okay. He was doing a good job. And he started off with an illustration. I don't like sermons that start off with a long illustration. And I'm like, okay, whatever. And nice enough, good speaker and a whole bit. And I was mildly entertained or amused or whatever. You know, it was difficult to pay attention. Until he started talking about election, I could not believe what I heard. He actually spoke the truth of God's word about God electing us to salvation. And he said to the people, sorry, folks, if you don't like it, but that's what the word of God says right here. I was shocked. I haven't heard that kind of language from the pulpit in years. It was awesome. And this is the kind of thing we need to have. But we're not getting it across the church as much anymore. And the mamby-pamby.
Hopefully the younger generation will bring it.
Hopefully. But I'm going to tell you, you know, I'm 66. And I've been on the web for years and years in technology. And I've noticed young men are coming up. And they know their theology, and they're ready to preach and teach. It's happening more and more. So that's why, you know, one of the things I want to do, I want to, on one hand, I want to start a church just so I can preach the truth, just because I want to preach the truth of God's word so bad. I want to preach, and I want to teach people so much. I want to equip them as much as I possibly can. I'm not saying I got all the answers, but I want so much to be able to equip God's people. It's what I want to do, and I'm just not able to, but I don't have the time, and I don't have the resources. I need so much help to be able to do all the things that need to be done. I spent 6 hours today, 6 hours, trying to get camera lighting and stuff working just for the YouTube so that the Bible study will go right. I've been having so much trouble. I have to teach myself what the problems are, and then research the solutions, and then see if I can figure out the solutions. And, you know, there's just so much. There's just so much to do. The time's getting short. And I think the pastors and the elders need to start preaching as though the time is short. Because the government's turning against us. The government's just trying to destroy itself. And the persecution against the Christians is going to increase. Just as the COVID thing was used by the government to gain power and to control people. So it's going to happen. And it happened quickly. Something else will happen, and it's going to happen quickly. And there'll be more control that's going to be exercised over the people. And the people are weak, and especially the Christians, and the Christian men are the ones who need to get the message in their heads and their hearts. They need to start acting like godly Christian men. And just like the other caller said in Psalm 82, what he said, protect the weak, deliver the helpless. This is what we're called to do. We're called to pick up the cross and follow after Jesus. Not lay down in the hammock on Sunday morning and get a nice, comfortable sermon. It's a common theme that I see, and I see the problems that need to be addressed. Anyway, you're just sitting there listening. Sorry, man. But I think you agree.
No, it's fine. I have another question if you have time.
Sure, after the break, because there's the music for a break. I don't know if you can hear it, but hold on, brother. We'll be right back after these messages,
right.
Okay? Hey folks, 4 open lines, you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the show, Quarter Tell. And if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. Mike, are you still there?
I am.
Okay. Go ahead. If you had a question.
Oh, something I do. Okay. So, I'm kind of a visual person. I like to picture okay. things in my head. And something that I've been struggling with recently is John 1. Okay. So Jesus was the Word up until 2,000 years ago. I cannot
that's not
wrap my
technically
head around
correct.
The Word.
That's not technically correct. Okay.
Okay, then...
Okay, because
tell me
definition,
about it.
Sure, by definition, Jesus came into existence 2,000 years ago. By definition. What I mean by that is that 2,000 years ago is when the eternal Word, the second person of the Trinity, became in union with the human nature in the womb of Jesus. That union is of the two natures. It's called the hypostatic union. That union occurred 2,000 years ago. And we call the union, those two natures, in the one person, we call him Jesus. So Jesus, in that sense, had a beginning. But the divine nature did not have a beginning. It's eternal. Okay? You there? Hello?
I'm still here. Yeah, I put it on mute so you don't hear anything in the background. So what did the Word look like? How did that present itself? How was that before the earth was created? Was that everything, like, was it the Bible? Was that the story before the story became what it is today?
Before the universe existed, the only thing that was existing was God himself. God, the one being, the one thing. So just think, an illustration I use is think of carbon-12 sphere. That's all it is. It's simple. One thing. That's what God is. Not carbon 12. He's simple. One thing. One divine essence. It's called divine simplicity. Within his nature exists all of his attributes. The one thing has all the attributes equal to what he is. But also the expression of the one divinely simple being is in the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, which are simultaneous. And how that works, I don't know. But that's who that is. God is that one being who exists as three simultaneous persons. There's what's called a perichoretic relationship. The perichoresis is that the Father, Son, Holy Spirit each mutually indwell each other because they're all the one substance. It's beyond our comprehension. Okay?
Okay. I guess my point is like, was the Word, though, like... Because I think of the Bible as the Word. You know, we always talk about the Word. Let's open up the Word. So, is the Word Jesus in that sense?
It's used in different sense. We call Jesus the Word in flesh, but the Bible is also called the Word, and they're used in different senses. The Word is just the Word of God. It says all the Bible, the Old Testament, New Testament, the writings. But then we say the Word became flesh. That's different. We're not saying the Bible became flesh. But they're similar. Because both of them are inspired and are, the, so to speak, the breath of God by which truth comes. Because the Word, remember John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. Well, in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God said, let there be light. So God spoke, that speaking, the Word, let there be light. And the Holy Spirit was there, hovering. So the three members of the Godhead were there in the beginning. And John 1:1 is a reflection of that verse, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. So... you're asking questions that are good, but there's no way to absolutely answer them because we're talking about the nature of God's divine essence from eternal time. You could, if you want, I've written a rather extensive paragraph, 500 words, on the Trinity. And you could go to CARM and you could look up an examination, in-depth examination of the Trinity. And it's broken up into 5 segments, I believe it is. And you can read it and you can check it out. Sounds to me like you want more information.
Is this something you struggled with in the past?
I don't struggle with it. I accept it. Yeah, I don't struggle with it.
Yeah. I'm getting your head wrapped around it.
Well, I tried once, and then I heard a whiz-bang sound in my head, and I lost 40 IQ points, so I learned to give up. Okay. So, yeah, it's, you know, how does God work? I don't know. You know, I don't know. It's like time. You know, it has 3 aspects to it, past, present, and future. They're all by nature time, but they have distinction. But they're all quality, all the one thing. God is like that. He's one thing, but there's distinction within him. And I just go, that's as far as my brain can take me, and I'm okay with being ignorant. Okay. All right?
That sounds pretty good. Thank you.
Okay, brother. Okay, well, God bless, man. All right. Okay. Let's get to Thomas from Salt Lake City. Thomas, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello, Matt.
Hello.
It's been a while. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yes, I can. Mm-hmm. So what do you got? What's up?
It's been a while since I've tuned into you.
All right.
I can tell you got some heavy stuff going on.
Yeah.
And I'm actually kind of curious what it is that you're dealing with as far as... I'm with you, brother, as far as starting a church. I know Jason Wallace, Paula Gia, all those guys. I was there in the Sean McCraney days. I've been around the block on that. And I'm just saying, I feel your heart on what needs to happen, especially now, everything you're saying about what we're about to go into and Christian men preaching the truth, and with your mind and your knowledge, and a preacher like me at this, hey, where do we start a church? I'm with you on that. And then I am sincerely just personally interested, since I haven't listened to you for a while, just kind of what you're, I assume it's just the pressures in sustaining things, but how do we get a church going? And I would love to help, and I'd also like to know how to get a hold of you privately.
Well, you can just email us at info@carm.org. But I'm not sure what you're asking. So you kind of talk about different things. So what are you talking about? What's your question?
Well, one thing is when I've listened to you before, you were very personal about things going on in your life and some of the pressures and all. You know, I'm just curious. Like, I can tell it's heavy.
Oh, okay.
And I think that might help people also support if they knew a little, you know, just a little bit more
I'll tell you
information.
What.
I'll tell you. Just because you asked,
I'll tell you.
Thank you.
All right. So my wife has a lot of medical problems, and I'm not complaining about that, you know, through sickness and through health, and that's fine. It's a privilege to be able to serve her. But she does have a lot of problems. She's a trooper. And she goes through a lot of pain on a daily basis, and she deals with that. And it affects our marriage. It affects all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's just life. And I'm not saying, you know, it's, you know, you get it. Okay. So basically, I'm the researcher writer for the articles on CARM. And overseeing the missionaries, overseeing the people that help, trying to, and do stuff. So there's always
more
to do. Oh, it's huge. And I'm very good, pretty good, I should say, pretty good at tech. But I could teach advanced Excel and Word. I can teach people how to do stuff. I can teach HTML, CSS, HTML. I could teach all kinds of stuff. But what's really the issue here is trying to get things set up for Bible studies on Thursday nights. It is a pressure cooker, and it's hard.
Yeah.
And trying to do stuff and trying not to spend any money, and yet trying to make things good. And I have to develop openings for videos that I'm going to be doing. I have to convert articles into videos. Plus, I had to you got me going. I had to teach myself how to do auto subtitles in videos. And out of a program, which I had to research, make sure I could do it. And then I need to get a friend who does sign language and then have her come over and do sign for the stuff that I'll be developing and then put all of it together in a video format that I have to develop and do each one like this. Then there's 1 minute Christianity I'll be doing, 1 minute apologetics, plus converting articles over. And the technology that's necessary behind all of it is just immense. I have to do. I spent six hours today just trying to do one thing. One thing.
Yeah.
And I don't have the tech. But I want to preach and teach, but, you know, I cannot. I can't do any of the peripheral stuff. I can't preach and teach. We need a bunch of people
really
to do everything else. Right.
Yeah, you can't do it all. And
no, I can't.
I have a deaf son, by the way.
Okay.
Maybe you could find some deaf sign language help with that. But anyway,
we have a friend who does that.
I appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah. Oh, there's a lot more, but I could get down and dirty. Yeah, that's only about 3% of what's going on, really, as far as the heavy.
I know. I hear you. Hey, my pleasure with you, and I'll be in touch.
Sure, thanks.
Yeah. And God bless. Hey, doing the radio show still? That's fantastic to tune into, and there you are. That's critical.
By God's grace,
and
pray for the radio network down there, because I know the guy who runs it, and Russ, and
Russ,
he's a great guy.
Yeah,
he's a great guy.
He is.
And we're just trying to keep things going, you know, and a lot of people working. Yeah. Okay. Well, praise
fantastic.
God, buddy.
All right. Thank you, my friend, my brother.
All right, man.
God bless.
Okay, God bless.
Bye.
All right, Devin from here in Nampa. Hey, Devin. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing radio. That's how I'm doing. What's up, man?
Mm-hmm. I don't know how long you have in the show, but I'll ask you a quick question. So, in Matthew 18:6, when Jesus is talking about if anyone causes one of these little ones to stumble, is he talking about literal children or newborn believers?
He's talking about the children. That's right there. Whoever humbles himself as a child. And Paideon, it's a young child. It's greatest. Whoever receives one child in my name, Paideon, again, receives me. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble. And so that's what he's talking about, is the children. You cause them to stumble.
Oh, okay.
That's why
gotcha.
People who injure children and do stuff like that, cause them to stumble like that, and turn them into Democrats, for example. Oh, man. That's a bit of a joke. But... yeah, judgment's coming upon all those who will teach them to be ungodly, who causes them to stumble, teaching them atheism, teaching them relativism, moral relativism, and not bringing them to the way of the Lord. Oh, yeah, judgment upon the parents will be heavy. That's right, raising them in Mormonism, raising them in Catholicism. That's right. That's right.
Yeah, because I sometimes see this verse going around, like in a Christian group that I'm at, talking about child drag shows and stuff, you know. So
that's another one.
Yep. You know,
that perversion.
Stuff.
That absolute perversion of drag shows to children. Men need to go in there and stop it. They put a stop to it. Men need to get up. Real men need to go in there and stop it. Yep. Needs to stop. Protect the children. We don't. No one will. All right. We're out of time. Okay, brother. Got to go. All right, man. Okay. Hey, folks. Well, we're out of time. We're at a fast hour all of a sudden. May the Lord bless you by His grace. We'll be back on here tomorrow. We'll talk to you then. See you. Bye.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.